Christ is among us. So last Sunday, we did witness an event where God infused into the church joy, the great gift of joy. Yes, it's a gift given from on high. It was the baptism of Sarah. It was her celebration of the mysteries of initiation, the Christian mysteries of initiation, where she was baptized, she was chrismated, and she received for the first time the Holy Eucharist. And the homily last Sunday reflected upon the first part of the mystery of initiation, we call baptism. And there were four parts to that first, to the baptism. It was first, you recall, she turned to the west and she renounced Satan and the power of darkness. And then she turned eastward and she proclaimed for the first time officially that Christ, Jesus the Christ, is her King and her God. And then there was the anointing with the oil of gladness. And then she was led over to the font that the church sees and calls the womb of the tomb and the womb, the tomb of the death of the old Adam and the rebirth in the new Adam, Jesus the Christ. Today, now let's reflect on the second part of the mystery of Christian initiation. We call chrismation, holy chrismation. I know the Western Church will call it confirmation, but we use the word chrismation because chrism is about anointing, and that's what's going on here. Where does all this come from, this whole sense of anointing? But it comes out of the Old Testament. Anointing was used to set people apart for God's work, for God's service. You were consecrated. And so in particular, priests, prophets and kings were anointed with olive oil. They were then commissioned to be God's representatives to the people of Israel. Moses, for example, anointed Aaron, and Aaron became the first Jewish high priest. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, anointed Saul and David, and upon anointing them, they became kings, the kings of Israel. And all these years, all these centuries later, because what was happening in the Old Testament was only a foreshadowing of what would happen in the New Testament, and the church has continued this practice of anointing, chrismation, for a special work or service of God. We call it the mystery of chrismation. And by the act of chrismation, a baptized person is sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. At that moment, you are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this oil, the oil that's used was different than the oil of gladness. So the oil of gladness was used to protect the person from the powers of darkness. It was to give you the armor of righteousness. This oil is a specially consecrated oil. It's called holy myrrh. Holy myrrh. It's a mixture of olive oil with 40 sweet-smelling spices. 40 sweet-smelling spices. Perhaps, Sarah, you remember this sweet aroma. If any of you have been chrismated, you'll remember that sweet smell that came out of this oil. 40 sweet-smelling fragrances. And it's only consecrated by our patriarch, the Melchite Patriarch in Damascus on Holy Thursday, and is shipped out to all the different dioceses throughout the world. So when you're anointed with this holy myrrh, there's a special relationship then between you and the patriarch, who's our father, who looks over our church, the Melchite Church. And so while baptism then is a participation in the death and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, chrismation is a special participation now in the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are the two great gifts that God has given to us. The Father has given to us His Son, and the Father has given to us the Spirit. And so together we call them the two paracletes, and they come into this world to make us participants of the divine nature, participants in the life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what happens in this event of baptism. Chrismation. St. Paul, and there's numerous passages we could spend reflecting on the presence of chrismation in the New Testament, but let's look at one particular passage from St. Paul in Colossians that the church really did derive its rite of chrismation. He taught, St. Paul, the apostle, taught these words, quote, "It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting a seal on us and giving us his Spirit in our hearts as a first installment," end of quote. Learning from St. Paul, that first installment. That's why chrismation is with baptism. We don't separate it. It's the first installment. You're being sealed in the Spirit. And out of that, the church has formulated her rite of chrismation. The Christian is anointed with holy murin. If you watch, it was in the sign of the cross. You are anointed in the sign of the cross, and at each time on different parts of your body, you heard these words. The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The seal. So when I anointed Sarah's forehead, we heard the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's some words with that, but we won't get too caught up in the details there. Her hands, as I anointed her hands, the very hands of the sign of the working of God, doing the work of God, right? It was the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Her feet were anointed. May you walk in the ways of God and his righteousness. And her feet were anointed with the words, the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Her heart was anointed, her chest, her back. Being anointed with the holy murin, the Christian is given the gift of the Spirit and is sealed by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just as Christ, we call him the anointed one. It means he's the chrismated one. He is the priest, the prophet, and the king. He's the anointed one, and all of us are anointed in the same way that Christ is the priest. So we're a participant now in his priesthood, in his kingship, and in his prophetic mission. We are his body. So the seal, now let's remember this. Let's remember that. I know people wonder, well, people fall away from the church and they stop believing God and stop going to church. What happens? Are they still Christians? Yes, they are. The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit can never be lost. It's the God's work. We don't do anything. We only say yes. And then when God stamps you, when God seals you, that seal is carried with you into eternity. Yes, some of our saints reflect that in eternity we will see those who have been anointed and sealed with the sealed with chrismation. Their souls will be marked and will be distinct from all those who were not. It is an indelible mark. It will never be taken away. You are always a child of God. However, it is within the power of the Christian to use this gift through prayer, through the celebration of the holy mysteries. I mean, think about, just watch the rest of our, listen to the rest of our liturgy today and see how many times we're calling upon the Spirit to work upon us. So it's through prayer, it's through the celebration of the mysteries, and through righteous living that we enable the power of the Spirit to work in our lives. Or we can ignore this gift through a life of sin, through a life of dissipation, through a life of vice that weakens or darkens the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and yet it is still there. He is still there. He's always there. Then the new Christian, after this chrismation, if you recall last Sunday, the new Christian, which means, the word Christian means the anointed one, so we are anointed ones. We were led, or in this case, Sarah is led into the nave. This is the nave of the sacred temple, and she's robed as she is today, 8 days later, in the garment, the white garment, and she continues to carry her candle. Because remember, in the early church, and for centuries, for 8 days, Something symbolic about that eight, right? It was a completion. The neophytes, we call them neophytes, the newly baptized. They were robed for eight, and they came to the divine services for 8 days in a row with their candles and were wearing their white. White. The neophyte is robed then in the glory and the radiance of God. That's why it's white. And we are reminded then to bring that garment unstained into the heavenly banquet. We call in that parable of the man who had no wedding garment, and therefore the Lord asked to remove him from the banquet. So may we all keep those, may we keep our wedding garments and keep them unstained as much as possible. And the light that Sarah carried into the temple, into the sacred temple, symbolizes what? It's God's light that now is illuminating her. God is the one who illuminates all. Another name for the holy mystery of baptism, going back to the church fathers, was called in Latin, it was photozemini, is the mystery of illumination. It was the mystery, and the ones who were baptized were usually called the illuminated ones. Picking up as now you've been truly illuminated. Without God, we cannot know clearly. Without God, we are in ignorance. We are in darkness. Our inner cells, our inner eye is clouded. But when we're upon baptism now, we are able to see more clearly the world as it is meant to be seen. Jesus the Christ, he said, I am the light of the world. Today, we are, as Sarah carries this light, may remind Sarah, but all of us, that Jesus Christ is our only light. He's the only teacher. He alone. Sarah, today, and to all of us who have been baptized, let us take to heart the words of the psalmist, quote, who said, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. End of quote. Psalm 56, verse 13. Hence, robed in white with lighted candle, the church then did what? The church. We represent the church on earth. We are the members of the church, right? So what did we do with Sarah as she walked in? We accompanied her just as the people of Israel accompany each other and walk up Mount Zion to the temple itself. And so today, the body, last Sunday, the body of Christ, the church, accompanied Sarah as she for the first time approaches the heavenly Jerusalem. Why? And we sang, all you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And such a procession is pregnant with rich meaning. As members of the body of Christ, we do not make this journey alone. We walk together as a people in communion. And that's what we did with Sarah last Sunday. And forevermore together, we walk as a people in communion. It was St. Peter who so aptly taught in these words, quote, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, a people claimed by God for his own to proclaim the triumphs of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. End of quote, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And for the first time, Sarah, last Sunday, stood with the chosen race. She stood with this royal priesthood. She stood with this dedicated nation. She stood with his people, claimed by God. We have been claimed by God. And we have been sealed by the gift of the Spirit. And for the first time then, as one sealed, as a member of the body of Christ, Sarah heard the scripture readings. And for the first time, she was able to lift up her own heart and unite her heart to the holy anaphora. Just as every time the priest says, let us lift up our hearts. What does it? This is a call to the church that we all lift up our hearts for the holy lifting of the gifts. She stood with the liturgical assembly for the first time, participating in the priesthood, the prophetic, and the kingly mission of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the work that God accomplished last week is only a reminder of the work that lies ahead for each and every one of us who have been anointed as priests, prophets, and kings. Each of us has the vocation, quote, to proclaim the triumphs of Christ, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The work that God began last week, may he bring it to completion not only in Sarah, but in all of our lives. Christ is among us.